Chicago's sports conversation is now.
I'll never forget the day I went home and told my wife, I said, I'll never be a kindergarten teacher.
The Beat.
I mean, Chicago's not a good defense. They have a good pass rush. They're not a good defense. It's a big difference.
You have to say it. Remember, this is just a football game. No matter who wins or loses.
You were on with Harry Tynan. What's on the weekend?
The Young Gun, WGN 720 AM sports reporter, Mark Carmen.
On 720 WGN.
Gerard McClendon just made the Open. That was such a great moment in time. The Beat starting now, 720 WGN. Harry's on his phone, but Earl Bennett's here, and he's ready to talk to me. Hi, Earl.
Hey, how's it going?
Former Bear receiver in studio today, which means that we have, we got a big Bears game to talk about, for one, here. And Harry Tynowitz, you and Earl have somehow, some way, formed a bond around eating desserts, and Earl has come in with a very special thing for you today. Well, why don't you give the backstory, please?
All right, the backstory is that my daughter celebrated her 18th birthday yesterday, and on Wednesday, my wife said, I asked my wife, should I get the cake? She goes, yeah, you get the cake. So I went out and I ordered a wonderful birthday cake for my daughter Lucy, got her a great chocolate cake. And then she texts me the next day saying, hey, I picked up Lucy's birthday cake. I got her carrot cake. I'm like, well, you told me to pick up the cake. So we ended up with two birthday cakes last night, and I tweet out the picture. One is this awesome trip down Fantasy Highway with chocolate cake, chocolate frosting, yellow cake, strawberry icing. And the other is carrot cake, which I'm pretty sure inmates are served if they have committed a felony. And I'm like, well, you know, how tough is this? Which cake would you pick? At Earl B. Bennett says carrot cake.
Yeah, of course. Have you ever had carrot cake from Gibson's?
It is very good there, but have you ever had chocolate cake from Gibson's?
Yeah, I have, but I prefer the carrot cake. The texture, the ingredients, it's just amazing.
This always blows my mind when guys that are in top physical condition can talk dessert. Because, like, you know, he's probably got, like, half a piece of carrot cake and he's good for a month, whereas I could, like, roll two whole chocolate cakes right now.
Yeah, three bites. That's it. That's all I can give you on the carrot cake.
How do you have that discipline?
I don't know. It just started as a kid, and when I started training, I just wanted to stay away from sugar as much as possible. So me and my wife, we go out. I have, you know, three bites, and she'll just look at me with this just sad face, like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I'm okay. Like, I have to continue to train and, you know, put the proper things in my body.
But see, that's a perfect partner as far as marriage goes. Somebody who's willing to have just three bites of dessert. That way you only have to buy the one dessert. You guys do have to have a little bit of compatibility with the selection, but then the rest of the dessert is sitting right there for you, which is one of the reasons why I do love my lovely girlfriend, because she's like a 1-2 bite dessert person. That's what I've been looking for this whole time in my single career.
See, I lost 100 pounds, and my problem was my kids, I was good at what I ate. I started eating salad for lunch. Earl, did you know you could have salad for lunch?
Yes.
I never knew that.
No?
I thought salad was like, you know, between cocktails, like to cleanse your palate at dinner. But my kids, you get in trouble, Carm, and you'll find this out soon when you and Chelsea start having the children. But
That's twice now.
Finishing what my kids leave.
Yeah.
You know, they leave, because kids eat the best stuff, Kraft mac and cheese, yep, and McNuggets and, yep, and all that good stuff. So, like, they leave stuff. What am I going to do, throw it out?
Right.
Am I going to put it in the fridge? Oh, yeah, I'll put those four McNuggets in the fridge. They'll taste great tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's the hardest thing for me right now, being a vegetarian, is that my kids, they still eat meat. And so I have to, you know, wash the dishes every once in a while. And my daughter leaves chicken nuggets and french fries on her plate, and I'm just looking like, gosh, I have the discipline. I'm okay. I can get past it, but it's tough, though, especially when I see some fried chicken. Like,
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's so good.
How long have you been a vegetarian?
I've been a vegetarian for a year and a half now.
What happened? What was the moment in time that you just decided, I'm going vegetarian?
Well, I have a friend who's been a vegan for about 6 years, and he called me up one day and was like, hey, man, you should try this with me. And I was like, I don't know, man. Like, I love lamb and I love chicken. And I was like, I don't think I could do it. And he's was like, just do it twice a week with me. And I was like, all right. So I started on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I was like, oh, this is not so bad, man. You know, and I was the guy that went to the store and bought all the frozen TV dinner.
Hell yeah.
It was like, oh, yeah, this is easy. Like, and then I started looking at the content. I was like, whoa, this is worse than eating fried chicken.
Yeah.
And so I changed it around a little bit. And one day I went to Miami. I ate lamb. And I was like, I can't do this again. Wow. And my wife was like, what's wrong with you? And I was like, I cannot do this. And so that was my last time eating meat.
See, I'm thinking about making a change myself here.
What?
Well, not relax, Harry. I'm not all the way there yet. But I'd like to get into this later in the show, but I think I might have gout because my right big toe was killing me. And part of the deal with gout is that you eat too much meat, you drink too much beer, uh-huh. and then all of a sudden you've got this arthritic toe, and then it's super painful because of what you're putting in your body. So, I mean, I would give up to get rid of the pain that's in my toe right now, because, as you know, I'm trying to get to be a professional on the tennis circuit, or any circuit for that matter. Softball would work too, maybe hoops. I can't have this pain in my toe.
Gout, traditionally a rich person's disease. Would you compare your... Oh, yeah, it is.
Is a rich person's disease?
For sure.
Oh, is that right?
Would you compare your toe injury to Derrick Rose's toe injury from a few years back?
I think that me putting myself on that level is probably not something that should be done. D. Rose's has had a better toe injury than me.
Okay, I love Earl's approach to being a vegetarian. Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'll be
Tuesdays
a vegetarian.
And Tuesdays and Thursdays.
See, when I checked into rehab, I thought, well, this is what I'll do. I'll stop drinking alcohol on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah, it didn't work, mm-hmm. did it?
No, well, no, you got to commit fully.
Right.
You can't just kind of like half. You know.
All right, let's get into this game here, okay, team?
Uh-huh.
Let's get some focus.
Then we'll get into that cake.
All right. So it's the Bears and the Rams. The best team in football is here on Sunday night.
And they're playing the Rams.
Right. 11-1. The Bears aren't quite there yet, Harry. 11-1. You've got the, according to Matt Nagy and according to Vic Fangio, who's got to stop these guys, the most deceptive offense in the league. They use play action better than anyone, because you got Todd Gurley, who's going to run downhill and kill you, and you got Jared Goff, who can find his receivers as well, and you've got Aaron Donald, who eats offensive linemen for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and the Bears are not exactly super talented on the O-line right now. So, Errol, feel free to paint a vision of how this could possibly happen.
I think it's going to be a heavyweight fight. If you guys watched the Deontay Wilder and in the Tyson Fury fight, uh-huh. this is what we're going to have Sunday night. Soldier Field, 20 degrees. It's going to be cold. And that team from the West, I don't know if they can handle it.
Really?
So you
actually do think that weather is a factor?
Yes, I do. I can recall playing against the Dallas Cowboys that year that Josh McCown came in. And Orlando Scandrick came up to me and was like, I'm done. I'm ready to go home. It was the second quarter.
Well, and so that's actually interesting to me, because the Rams, in theory, could go home. We don't need this game.
Yeah.
They're in a dogfight for the number one overall seed. But outside of that, this is not the Super Bowl for them. And for the Bears, I feel like this is kind of a Super Bowl regular season game.
Yeah, I think the Bears need this game. In the end of it. That's the end of discussion. The Bears need to win this one. They dropped the one last week to the Giants, which hurt them a lot. But they need to win this one to stay in a front-runner seat.
Yeah, and then I read today that Odell Beckham Jr. is not playing for the Giants tomorrow. Why couldn't he have been out last week? That would have helped the Bears.
Yeah, I think they just don't like Chicago for some apparent reason.
Yeah, I've got a problem with New York, but that's a whole different thing. Okay, so I don't think that this is like the Bears Super Bowl. But it is the most important game of the season, and we can say that every game now for the rest of the year. The Vikings sit just a game and a half back. The Bears blew an opportunity to space out that lead last week. They should have been up 2.5. They're up a game and a half, but they're at home. Soldier Field crowd, and it's going to be a cold, swirling wind, so the Bears have to take advantage of this. Jared Goff, California kid, we got to beat him. Trubisky's from Ohio, the Midwest. You know, Bears got to beat these guys. That Rams, you know, everybody talks about their offense, and Goff and Todd Gurley, who might be the best running back, but that defensive line, since they made the trade with Jacksonville, it's all first-rounders.
Yeah.
And Aaron Donald, who the Bears were one pick away from getting, is the key to that whole Rams defense.
Well, Yeah, and you've also got Ndamukong Suh, who's a little bit older, but, you know, I mean, Bears fans obviously remember what he's been able to do in his career, starting with Detroit and now sitting there with the Rams with the stop in Miami in there. So, I mean, it's not just one guy.
Yeah, and you have Dante Fowler, who just came
from
over
Jacksonville.
At the defensive end position. So I heard a quote from one of the offensive linemen who said, Aaron Donald isn't God. You know, I slept well last night. I just hope that he has enough rest for this game on Sunday night, because Aaron Donald's a different guy. He's not a guy that you can, you know, take a play off of. This guy brings it every single down. And I just hope that they're able to hold up front, because you can make plays on the back ends. We saw the Saints make a lot of plays down the field. And hopefully they, Coach Nagy can throw the ball.
I wish Aaron Donald were God, because God rests on Sundays.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. Former Bear Earl Bennett is in studio with us. We'll take I just asked a simple question, like, is this a totally different level for you as a Bears fan tomorrow? Are you planning your whole day around tomorrow night? Is it the last night of Hanukkah? Or are you having an early Christmas party? Are you doing, there's a lot of things you can do for Sunday night, yes?
My question is, when is the last time the Bears, finish the sentence, the last time the Bears had a game this big in the regular season was?
Yeah, that's fair. And a reminder that one of the NBA's best takes the court tonight. That's the Bulls. That's Lauri Markkanen. They're hosting Kyrie Irving and the Boston Celtics. 6:30 on WGN-TV. Earl Bennett in studio. We're getting ready for the Bears and the Rams. 720 WGN. Spending a little time here with Earl Bennett. We're learning about the former Bears wide receiver who just got his master's in education.
Yeah, master's in education, learning, diversity, and urban studies.
How about that, Harry?
Yeah, it's not cool enough, like, being a Chicago Bear, being in great shape. This guy's got to get his master's from Vanderbilt.
And,
you know, a school with a fantastic reputation, despite certain quarterbacks coming out of there.
And you're thinking now about getting your PhD?
Yeah, I'm going to look into getting a PhD in higher education.
It's PhD in higher education.
Yeah, higher ed.
And then you become like a professor and stuff?
Yeah, be a professor, assistant professor.
Carm, higher ed does not mean teaching stoned kids.
Thanks, sir. I do appreciate that.
Just making sure you knew.
312-981-7200. People are texting in that they love carrot cake. And also,
over chocolate cake? Come on.
Yes.
No, you have a choice.
It's phenomenal.
It's phenomenal.
It is the best dessert cake you can have.
Girl, you could be a vegetarian during dinner, but at dessert, you know, come on, man. You don't have to go gravitate towards veggies.
You know who's got a great carrot cake? I haven't tried the ones yet from Gibson's, which I'm looking forward to having a sampling. But I'll give Hub 51 a nice moment in time. Their carrot cake is delicious.
I got to check that out.
And a good, fresh whipped cream.
Ooh. Do you know what restaurant was named the best fast local restaurant this week in America?
I saw that Portillo's got some
Portillo's.
Love.
Oh, wow.
What's best thing at Portillo's?
Earl doesn't eat that. The Italian.
The
beef.
Italian, yeah.
The chocolate cake.
Yeah, I used to eat that all the time.
The chocolate cake, boys.
They
the chocolate cake at Portillo's is off the chart, ridiculous, goofy.
I don't disagree that it's a good chocolate cake, but Harry is trying to fight for... People are just... they're not giving you a lot of love on your cake take. And by the way, you should be flexible. Earl is allowed to like what he likes as far as his desserts.
Right, opinions are never right or wrong. They're opinions.
No, I
feel good right now.
You look good.
People are siding with the carrot cake.
Yeah.
I think it's like an Earl Bennett thing.
Okay.
You know, hey, man, I want to be cool. Earl Bennett. Chocolate cake cannot be beat.
All right, so here, let's get back into this game for a second. Now, last week against the Giants... The wheel route to Tariq Cohn, which Terry's got a new song out about Tariq that we're going to play again. It's the greatest song I've ever heard. But that thing was magic. It was like a layup line. Can they do that again? Is it that is he just that good running that route? Because it was like seven times that play worked.
Yeah, the cool thing about their route is like there's so many ways that you could run, especially from the backfield. And he can also run an anger route. So you kind of can't play him one way or the other. You just got to play him straight up. And with his speed and his quickness, it's hard to cover that route. And so I look for them to expose the Ram linebackers in the back end this weekend.
It's so great to see what Nagy has been doing with Tariq Cohn. He's the 10th most productive fantasy football running back this season, and you feel like he's capable of even more, and they're not sacrificing Jordan Howard either. Jordan Howard's still getting a chance to carry the rock.
Yeah, I love what they're doing with the running backs. You got Howell, who's a power guy in between the tackles, but it's cool to see Cohen do that too. And I like to see him on the end of rounds and some of the quick sweeps.
Let me quibble with this just a little bit, though, because I'll see Jordan Howard will get a carry. He'll pick up 5-6 yards. Then, next play, he's on the bench. Taequann Mizell's getting a carry. Why aren't they letting Jordan Howard get into a rhythm?
I think that's the mystery. I honestly don't know. Maybe they're trying to save him and trade him next year. I honestly don't know, because if you have a guy who's productive like Jordan is, he gets you 5 yards and then you take him out to put in a backup to do the same thing that he does, you're kind of messing up his rhythm and the flow, but I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. Form Bear Earl Bennett in studio here, 720 WGN. Go ahead, Harry.
You know, I think that you see it more and more. You know, when I was younger, when I fell in love with the NFL, there was one running back. You know, and then what happened after that is we went to an age of specialization where you would have these third down backs, like Larry Centers comes to mind, one of the great pass catching backs of all time. And, you know, Tariq Cohen is capable of being a first down back. He can run. He can tote the rock as well. But, you know, you don't have to split up your running backs. You could certainly give, you know, two running backs is a lot to work in. You don't have to bring Mizell in. Now, he's looked pretty good, you know, from the, you know, coming from the practice squad, used to call it the taxi squad. He's looked pretty good, Mizell, but I think Jordan Howard is getting a bit of a bum rap this year because people are saying, oh, man, Cohen should be out there all the time. I think Jordan Howard is still very productive.
I do hear a lot of Bears fans, though, saying, why can't Jordan Howard get some more love? I feel like I've heard that a ton.
Yeah.
Earl, you seem to be saying the same thing.
Yeah, I think so. I think he deserves a lot more love. I think he's one of those guys that can get it done. I'm not sure if he can be an every down back, but a first and second down back for sure. And when I think of Tariq Cohen, I think of Jamal Charles. He's that similar player who's super explosive, can run between the tackles,
nice
do a
compliment.
Phenomenal job in the pass game. So, yeah, I think Cohen can be an every down back.
Let's do one more segment with Earl here after the news. 312-981.
Let's do another hour and a half with Earl.
Sure, that's fine too. 312-981-7200. Bears and the Rams tomorrow night. And by the way, on the pregame on WGN, 3 to 4:30. Hamp will be in Kaz, and then we'll be on after the game, 10:30 till midnight. Hopefully, be talking about a Bears win. 720 WGN. WGN getting ready for Bears and Rams tomorrow night. Biggest game at Soldier Field in quite some time, although you could say the Vikings game a couple weeks ago was pretty big, too. Also, Sunday Night Football. Earl Bennett, former Bear receiver, is in studio with us. You know, you go back to last week, Earl, Harry Tynowitz is here as well. My name is Mark Carmen. I should say that, too. You look at the Bears receiving last week. Tariq Cohen, I love him. But 12 catches, 156 yards to lead the team. That's not exactly the ideal formula. You got Allen Robinson at 5 catches, Taylor Gabriel with 3, Taequann Mizell with 2, Josh Bellamy had 1, Jordan Howard had 1, Adam Shaheen caught a couple balls, and then Anthony Miller.
Including a touchdown,
right. And then Anthony Miller caught the touchdown to send it in overtime, his one catch of the whole day. So I'm wondering if Earl thinks we need to get more from the receivers.
Yeah, I think we need to get a little bit more out of the receiver, especially this week. There's some guys on the back end that I don't think is very good for the Rams. I know Marcus Peters, people love him, but he's very susceptible when it's man coverage. He can be beat. You saw Michael Thomas against the Saints beat him on a 73-yard touchdown pass. And so I look for him to match up with Allen Robinson again. I know they get Aqib Talib back, which will help them out some, but I still think the Bears have the advantage.
By the way, Aqib Talib, a rock chalk Jayhawk, go KU. So Cooper Kupp got hurt, who I love, but you still have a Rams team that features Robert Woods on one side, who is the league leader in consecutive 60-yard games. No one in the league has more 60-yard receiving games in a row than Robert Woods, 17 on the Rams, and Brandon Cooks, who, for some reason, the Saints let go, then the Patriots let go. I think Brandon Cooks and Robert Woods is a tandem up there with the Vikings tandem, with the Chargers tandem. Where are you, Earl, with Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks?
Yeah, I think they're right there at the top. Brandon Cooks, he is a speedster. That guy can run great routes. His run after the catch is phenomenal. I love Robert Woods' toughness, though. He's probably one of those guys that just is really gritty. He goes across the middle. He goes deep. He blocks. He does it all. And so the Bears' defensive back's going to have their hands full this week.
Well, you know, we hear that all the time. Like, this guy will go across the middle. I don't think, you know, I never played the game, but if you could name for a book. How tough is that to be a wide receiver in the NFL with the greatest football players in the world, as strong as they are, as fast as they are, they're coming for you. And you know, in order to get a first down or to, you know, get a touchdown, you've got to hold on to the ball. How tough is it for a receiver to go across the middle of a field?
It's very tough because there's a lot of traffic in there. And I'm just going to be brutally honest. I know it's football, but not a lot of guys like to get hit. Like there are some wide receivers that prefer to stay outside, go deep, do some comebacks, but that's it. They do not want to go across the middle and have the chance of being hit by a linebacker.
Anybody in particular come to mind?
Not that I could think of right off the top of my head, but I have seen a couple guys go across the middle, and whenever you see their hands go back, that means
alligator arms.
Yeah, they don't like that. They don't want that contact.
So here, let's talk about the quarterbacks here real fast as well. You've got, first off, it's kind of interesting when you compare Jared Goff and Mitchell Trubisky. First of all, they were roommates this summer with Trubisky working on his game, Trubisky going into his second season, Goff into his third. If you look at them both through 22 starts, which is where Trubisky's at right now, they were both record-wise 11-11. Yards per game, Goff 222, Trubisky 211, very close. They both went through the coaching change from the first year with dysfunction to the second with Matt Nagy, Sean McVay. Touchdowns to interceptions, 33 for Goff, 14 interceptions, 27 for Trubisky, 16 interceptions. So a little bit worse, but around there. Passer rating 89.4, passer rating 87.5. So again, super close. And Goff was sacked 51 times. Trubisky was sacked 50 times. Now, Jared Goff is having a phenomenal season. In his last six games, he's got 15 touchdown passes. He's only thrown two picks. The Rams are getting better and better, which, you know, logically, you look at the Bears, that they're probably 1 year away, and Trubisky should continue to elevate himself. But like, when you look at the two quarterbacks, you think they're comparable?
Yeah, I think they're comparable. There's a lot of similarities there, but I think what it comes down to is just both guys just get it done. When you look at Trubisky, he's one of those guys that if he have to improvise, he do it. And now if you look at Goff, the way that Goff goes through his progression is probably one of the best that I've seen, because he goes 1, 2, 3. He's not there. I'm there to the check down.
I want to ask you about, because people are freaked out that Mitchell Trubisky is a quote-unquote running quarterback uses or runs too much. You know, OB, who I do the show with on Sundays, does not like that at all. I might have this argument with him this week. You know, Steve Young had a great career in the NFL. He's in the Hall of Fame. The dude ran a lot.
Yeah.
And there are guys who that's a part of his skill set. I maybe he'll get hurt, maybe he won't. It's being a good running quarterback also means knowing how to protect yourself doing that. And I just think that's something that he needs to continue to hone and be good at.
You know, and one of the more stunning upsets of the season, the Cowboys knocked off the Saints last week, and it was because of their defense. Dallas's doomsday defense returned, but Dak Prescott, who, you look at this year and you think maybe he's regressed, maybe he's taken a step back. They had a 3rd and 10 where Dak Prescott got 11 yards on a run. He would not be denied. That kept the drive going right there. That's the kind of play that I need Trubisky to make, and he's made those. It's awesome when he runs, you know, 60 yards for a touchdown, but I don't think Cutler ever ran enough. And Earl, you were with him in college and you were with him in the pros. When Cutler would take off, you know, he would run a lot. Dak Prescott, people think, hey, he could run, and he still picks up big first downs all the time. So I have no problem with Trubisky running.
Yeah, I have no problem with him running either. I just think he has to be smart. And I think nowadays, when you think of the running quarterback, the first person that comes to mind is Robert Griffin III. Nobody wants that to happen here in this city. But I think the way that Trubisky runs the ball is totally different from the way Robert runs it. Robert runs it to score. Trubisky runs it to get a first down to keep the drive going, but Robert, he was that guy that took a lot of hits, took a lot of punishment. You don't see that with Trubisky.
And like, if you go back through time, like Dan Marino had no mobility, he's not going to run, but Joe Montana could get away from guys.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, he'll be a little more recent, can get away from guys. Brady's not going to go anywhere, but, you know, he's also just that good and has had that much talent around him as well.
Went over 1,000 yards.
Yeah, 1,000 yards rushing. That's big for Brady.
Marino had the quickest release.
Right.
I mean, just like, I don't know how he did it, but he could just like telekinetically get a ball from his hand to Duper or Clayton's hands.
I still think Dan Marino's like vastly underrated as far as in the history of quarterbacks go. Guy was phenomenal. Go ahead.
One Super Bowl appearance in his second season.
Which is why. Too much on winning the big game, but go ahead.
Okay, so I people make fun of me because I love the kickers.
Yeah.
Okay, because like when I first started, Kevin Butler was so cool to me, so I will always have a special place in my heart for kickers. And I think a lot of Bears fans miss Robbie Gould.
Yeah.
Cody Parkey had a rough game, but then the next week he's the NFL Special Teams Player of the Week. The Rams have a tremendous tandem there of Zuerlein and Johnny Heckler, the great punter, great kicker. So I think the Rams might have an advantage in the kicking game, but how much of an advantage do they have in the head coaching game? Because people want to make McVay seems like the guy you want to play for.
Yeah,
you know. But Nagy's looking awfully good so far.
Yeah, McVay, young guy, really savvy. I mean, the way that he breaks down players and film and to be able to recall things is absolutely remarkable. But to see what Matt Nagy is doing with this offense in 1 year, I think next year around this time we'll be saying that, hey, Matt Nagy is that genius that we thought he was. We saw what he did his first season, but his second season he just took another step. And so I think those two guys are very comparable, and I think they're doing a great job.
And we could play at some point during the program. I don't know if Dan has it queued up.
Oh, he's got it queued up.
The McVay recall, is that
what
we're
doing? Yeah.
Did you hear this, Earl? Did you hear
it? Yeah, yeah.
All right, so this was Sean McVay.
The top of his head.
Asked about the Bears.
Look at their front. Hicks is doing an excellent job. Obviously, Khalil Mack is an outstanding player, and they do move him around a little bit. You know, he's moved around where he's sometimes on the left, sometimes on the right. Leonard Floyd is a player that's gotten a lot better. You know, really, you just look at a couple years ago when I was in Washington, we played them, and you can just feel his growth and maturation. Aaron Lynch is always a guy that's made a lot of plays. And then when you look at their second level, you feel their speed. You know, you see why Roquan Smith's a top 10 pick, got a great feel in coverage. He can blitz and finish. Trevathan's been doing it for a long time. And then on the back end, I think, you know, you see all those ball skills where guys are making picks. You know, you talk about, I want to say it's 21 interceptions they have as a defense. Kyle Fuller has 6 on his own. He's got great instincts. He can play with great vision on the quarterback, and he plays with great technique. Mukamura is a guy that you've always seen. Just going back to when I was in Washington, when he was in the division with the Giants, he's a very good physical player. Bryce Callahan's gotten better at the nickel spot. And then when you look at Eddie Jackson, the instincts, the range, you know, he makes a lot of different plays, and Amos is a guy that's been doing it for a long time too. So great scheme.
So there you go. He knows the team.
But including the nickelback, for God's sake.
You talk about eat, sleep, and drink football. That's what I don't think he leaves the facility.
Did you ever watch the Brian Gumbel show, Real Sports, on HBO?
Yes.
It's a phenomenal show. They cover not just like football and baseball, but they take you to like, you know, this out-of-the-way country, you know, third-world country, or up in, you know, the Andes Mountains, and tell you some great story. The piece that they did with Sean McVay, Gumbel sits there and he goes, okay, last year, week 3, second quarter, 8.5 minutes to go. It's 3rd and 7. Yeah. You're playing the Seahawks. What happened? And he knows every single play.
That's unreal.
That guy would have made a hell of a lawyer. Yeah.
Right, yeah, that's unreal. To be able to go back in time and just spill out what guys did in the past. Like, he was talking about Prince Amukamara when he was with the Giants.
Right.
Like, that was a few years ago.
Yeah,
Carm, you can do that too.
No, I just look. I think that as time goes on, the bar gets raised higher, and you've got these young guys coming in who are becoming head coaches in the NFL, and they're just better than. It's just like athletes getting bigger, stronger. This is what a head coach today looks like. They are just that in tune and that studied up and that prepared. It's just a different level, more intelligent coach than just rah rah, we're going to go out there and kill him. And the best guys have both sides, right?
Yeah. No, I would definitely agree with you, which makes me worry about John Gruden. Like, I don't know how long he's going to last in Oakland with his type of philosophy.
And the other part is you have to connect with the modern-day athlete who there's just a whole nother game there. The guys are making a ton of money. You don't have the same leverage that you had back in the day. And yet you have to motivate them at the same time and like be their friend, but also have a strict line that you can't cross. It's not easy.
And Sean McVay, after the game, he's in the locker room doing the woo! And Mike McCarthy?
Well, what?
He gone.
Well, what do you think that Lovey did so well on that side? I know you guys like him.
Yeah, Lovey was definitely a player's coach. He was one of the guys that you can really go and talk to. And I know you're like, what do you mean go and talk to? But no, you could actually have a conversation with him on a deeper level. Whereas you had guys like Mike Martz, who all he wanted to talk to you about was football. So he couldn't relate or even want to have a conversation with you about anything other than football.
We had a lot of fun with it on the air that week. But what did you guys in the team meetings do with when you heard Jay Cutler and Martz is the offensive coordinator and the word comes in, hey, Mike Martz says to do this, and Jay Cutler is caught on mic on the field saying, tell Mike Martz to...
Yeah.
You know, did you guys have some fun with that?
Yeah, we loved that. We loved it because he was the only person that could challenge Mike Martz, right? He was the quarterback. He was the captain. He was the only person that could say that and get away with it. And so we loved it. Like, we ate it up in meeting rooms. We played it back. Like, very often when you're watching film, do we have the TV copy? Like, most of the time, you just watch the copy. There's no sound. There's nothing at all. But we had the TV copy, and it was great. We all loved it.
Great moment for Jay. 312-981-7200. By the way, is the phone number. Earl Bennett's in studio. We're going to hold you one more segment, Earl.
Yeah, we're good.
We'll just bring you out.
We're good.
And then a game with Earl.
And then, oh, we're playing a game?
Oh, yeah, we're playing a game.
Okay. Are we doing that next?
Don't you want to play a game?
I didn't know we were playing the game with Earl.
We could play the game at the top of the hour with Earl.
Oh, okay.
I know Kerm wants to talk
so
Bulls.
Nobody wants to tell him what's the game?
Oh, you're so good. You're Mr. Masters, Mr. Southeast Conference.
I think we should. I'm excited now to play the game. All right. Well, a lot coming up here. How's that? 720 WGN.
Butler getting rid of it quickly to Earl Bennett. And Bennett has another first down, and he will take it all the way. 60 yards for a Bears touchdown.
Unbelievable that a little screen to the outside.
What happened to the safety support on that?
That's our guy, Earl Bennett, taking him to the house right there. What game was that?
Blowing past the safety.
Lions game screen route. We saw we had the backer in tight. He had me man to man, and Jay looked at me, and we kind of had like this understanding that hey, this guy's in tight. We're gonna kick it out to you. Brandon Marshall knew it. He got the corner, and I got around and 60 yards.
I asked you this about before, but your relationship with Brandon was like what?
What relationship?
Yeah. He was in his own world?
Yeah. No, he was just an interesting guy. We were teammates. I think that's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah. So you guys, for home games, people might not know, you used to stay at the Chicago Hilton. I think they've changed that now.
Yeah.
But so these guys are going to be in a hotel tonight downtown, and then tomorrow, normally it would be a noon game. You got a 7 o'clock game now. So how does that change things? What do you guys do the night before? What does that whole thing look like?
Yeah, it's totally different. So the night before a game, you actually have to be at a hotel before midnight. Just kind of check in. They have snacks. They have food for you there. You just kind of get to your room and, you know, hang out, watch a movie, and chill. The next morning you wake up, you typically have breakfast around from 7 to 8. 8:30, you're going to meetings from 8:30 to about 11:30. You're just meeting all day. And then once you're done, you have the freedom to go out and just as long as you're at the stadium, 2 hours before the game.
You just reminded me of how stupid I used to be. Not that I'm smart now. 1 year, the Bears were playing the 49ers in a big game at Soldier Field on a Monday night. And it was Sunday night. They were staying at the Marriott. And my friend, we had been out, and, Shuba.
Get out of here.
Shocker, right? We've been out like at Shuba's, and I thought it'd be a good idea to go to the 49ers hotel and make some noise.
Come on.
So we went to the floor. And I don't know how many
Earl
floors.
Earl is shaking his head at Harry right now.
Dude, it was for the Bears. I did it for my team.
All right.
Okay?
I accept that. That's
so
good.
We got
no,
off.
No, that's not right.
We got off that. On a floor with the intent of setting off the fire alarm. Now, we didn't get the fire alarm pulled, but we made a lot of noise that one of the 49ers opened his hotel room. What's happening? What's happening? And the next night, the Bears beat the 49ers, and Richard Dent still had the greatest sack I ever saw live in my life. He leapt over a tackle to eat Joe Montana. You remember that sack?
Yeah. That's what you call home field advantage.
I mean,
yeah, baby. Yeah.
I'm personally kind of embarrassed and mortified that I'm doing a show with a guy who would go into a hotel to disrupt a visiting team in Chicago. I mean, what type of person would do that?
It's all about commitment.
Harry, as a former player, I just want to say thank you. We appreciate every little thing that we can get, all right?
You meant so much to me.
Every inch we can get, we'll take it.
So, well, okay, when guys are on the sideline and they're trying to get the crowd to make noise, that doesn't bother you, or at a basketball game trying to get people to wave, and, you know, we can't just win it on our own. We need your help. You don't have any integrity issues with this?
No, none at all.
Okay. You know what I can't stand, and my friend Tom, who I miss a lot, used to always hate this too, is when the home team has to tell fans to make noise. And the Miami Heat does this the entire time. When D. Rose was playing against the Heat, like, at breaks, they would have, you know, like their mariachi band making noise, and it was Gloria Estefan's husband, and they would say, "Make noise, Heat fans, get on your feet." You don't have to do that in Chicago.
Sometimes you do. Sometimes they
well, they play it. They play it. They play it at Bears games. Sometimes they play it at Bulls games. Sometimes
Bulls games, they hand out those stupid balloons. If you're sitting behind the bucket, you got some moron in front of you waving his balloon. I just want to watch the game. This is not. No. I personally, maybe it's because I'm Fred Karman's son. My dad's gonna be 93 next weekend.
Karm's dad, by the way, was a record setter in high school. High school quarterback.
None of that's. Wow. He did play quarterback, but
that's awesome.
The record setting thing is, well, it's true. He did have he had like the longest punt return for
a
touchdown.
So don't tell me I'm making stuff
up. No, Fred was huge. Fred was dynamic.
If I were to say you dated a ton of really intelligent, attractive women, that would be like a lie.
That thanks, Harry. Appreciate it.
But now your fiance, she's beautiful. You're going to have kids, and that'll be great.
You keep on making me engaged before I'm actually engaged. You know, then we're not engaged.
Did we not have a conversation on the show where you talked about getting the ring?
We have had that conversation, but we got to stick to the facts. Factually, right now, she is my girlfriend.
I have a great jeweler here. So
do you
just
really?
Just let me know.
Okay.
Can you answer a jeweler question for me about getting married? Do you bring your fiance with you to pick out the ring, or do you go on your own and get it?
You go on your own.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick timeout. 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Little holiday spirit for you. That was the gremlin in the system here. I was also just watching a tweet from @BarstoolSports, which also was the most wonderful time of the year. It was like 10 Santas fighting each other. I don't know what happened, but if you're on the old Twitter world, you can see that there on Instagram. Earl Bennett's in studio, former Bear wide receiver. Harry Tynowitz is here right now, and he's got the Army-Navy game, which we're going to play in 1 second. Earl, I want you to answer one text, though,
because
it's a thought I've had, too. Brian in Montana texting in, if the Bears get into a shootout with the Rams, do you think the Bears can keep up?
No, you don't want to get in a shootout with the Rams. That's the last thing you want to do. We saw what happened with the Kansas City Chiefs. They ended up losing that game. You don't want to get in a shootout.
Yeah, I don't think we're quite ready for that, but okay. Maybe someday, but I don't think...
Tomorrow night.
That was one of the greatest games ever. That was the highest scoring Monday night game ever, and it was awesome.
Chiefs scored 51 points and lost 54-51 if you did not watch that night. All right, here comes the game. What you want to... Well, here, let me bring in our contestants. Chuck, welcome to 720 WGN.
Hello.
Because today was the annual Army-Navy game, we thought we would play the Army-Navy game.
Oh, we have a song, too, huh?
What song do you think we're playing for the Army-Navy game, Carm? We got this. Went out to your car, and we got this from one of your
I'm
CDs.
In the Navy? I'm quick like that.
Okay, so playing with Earl Bennett is Kurt in South Elgin. Kurt, what do you do, sir?
Hey, happy holidays, guys.
Happy holidays, Kurt. What do you do, sir?
Well, I'm an ink technician.
In England, does that mean you do tattoos?
No, color match, like for Hershey's, Starbucks, and their packaging.
Very cool. Earl, say hi to Kurt.
Kurt, how are you doing? Thanks for playing with me.
All right. How's it going?
Hey, we got to crush this, all right? We can't lose.
Okay.
That is a professional athlete. That's the drive that got Earl Bennett to the highest level. And you'll be playing against Eric on the north side and Mark Kerman.
No,
Eric,
we got Chuck.
Oh, Chuck. I'm sorry. Chuck from Schaumburg. Yep. Chuck, thank you for playing. Chuck, what do you do?
I'm a truck driver.
Awesome. Are you in your truck right now?
No, I'm not in my car.
Okay. Very, very good. I hope you remember that you're not in the truck when you're driving your car. Carm, you won the toss.
I did?
Yeah, Earl selected tails and it was heads.
Oh, okay.
Would you like to go first or second?
Chuck, you want to go first or second? You're the leader of this team.
I would say second.
All right, well, we will defer.
We go. We're going first. Let's go.
All right, so you guys can get it right. You guys can win this game. Six questions apiece. Every answer has to do with the Army-Navy game, but none of them have to do with the Army-Navy game. Every question is about the Army or the Navy in some form. Please do not answer somebody else's question. You can only hurt yourselves, and you do not get a chance to steal the other guy's question.
I don't know if I like that rule, but okay, it's your game, Harry.
We begin with Kurt and Earl Bennett in the movie Under Siege. Terrorists take over a Navy ship. Fortunately, by random chance, the cook on board happens to be an ex-Navy SEAL played by this actor.
Oh, man.
Kurt. And Earl.
Steven Seagal or something?
Steven Seagal!
You're right there. Is that your final
answer?
Steven Seagal is correct.
There we go.
Yeah, I knew it was Steven.
There we go.
Nice pull, buddy. Way to go, Kurt.
Teamwork. Make the dream work. Here we go.
Can I go to the judges? Dan Long, I heard Seagal and didn't hear Seagal. Are we allowing that answer to pass?
There was a Seagal.
There we go.
Jennings out of voice of God out of nowhere. David Jennings in news. I knew Jennings has beef with me. He wants Earl to win. I know he wants.
He doesn't,
to win.
Man.
No. David... In fact, Earl is the one who said Seagal.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Jeez, Carm. Thanks for being there, Dave. Unlike other people on the show, I appreciate you being a great teammate.
Wow.
Okay.
Shots fired.
Carm and Kurt. Here's your question.
Carm and Chuck.
I really got to get new glasses. In the movie Stripes, Bill Murray just up and quits his job as a cab driver and joins the Army with his best friend, played by this actor.
First off, let's get a radio turn down on the airwaves. Dan Long, executive producer, is hearing a little too much sounding. So who's ever doing that, if we got a radio on, please turn that down. Kurt and or Chuck, who played? We can't just name the movie Stripes?
No, because it's part of the question.
I didn't hear that part. Hey, Chuck, do you have an answer? I need you, Chuck.
On Stripes, I would have to say Dan Aykroyd. I don't know.
No, it's not Dan Aykroyd. It's a tall, weird-looking guy.
Think Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Ghostbusters, too, right? That guy. You know who? I can picture him, but I don't know his name.
I can picture him too, but
boys, we need an answer.
Yeah, we don't have.
Do you
one
have
for
a clock?
You.
Yeah, I don't have one.
Sorry, the correct Dave Jennings. You knew this, huh?
I can't remember his name.
Harold Ramis.
Harold Ramis.
The late, great Harold Ramis. So after one, Earl and Kurt have the lead with 1-0 over Chuck and Carm.
Bill Leff, if you're listening to the show right now, please text me all the answers.
Okay, now we go back to Kurt and Earl. After this round of questions, the questions get a lot easier. But this is not easy. In the movie Saving Private Ryan, what was Tom Hanks' character's profession? In the movie Saving Private Ryan, what was Tom Hanks' character's profession?
Oh, man.
What's he a nurse? I have no idea.
Do you have a guess?
Oh, man.
Sergeant. I don't know.
I'm going to say he was a nurse.
A nurse? And the answer is incorrect. He was a teacher.
There we go.
He was a teacher, so now a chance for Chuck and Karam to tie it.
We're back in here, Chuck. By the way, if anybody knows me and has my phone number, you have the answer. You can text me. I'm not above cheating.
In the movie The Deer Hunter, the great Robert De Niro, Christopher Walken, and John Savage join the army together and sadly become POWs forced to play Russian roulette. From which NFL city does this trio of characters come from in the film?
Chuck, I want to say Pittsburgh. Do you have?
I think I see Pittsburgh too. So, yep.
Okay,
Pittsburgh.
We're going with the Steel City.
Is correct, and there we have a tie game. We're knotted at one.
Chuck, we're in there, baby. Let's go.
All right. Kurt Nerl. She plays the leading lady in the military courtroom drama A Few Good Men.
That's all you, Kurt.
She was married. She was married to Tom Cruise, and then married that young guy, Demi Moore.
Demi Moore is correct.
Man.
She was married to Bruce Willis in real life.
My man.
Yeah. Okay.
That was big.
She was not married to Cruise in the movie, but I think she might have wanted to be at least at one point there. I loved when they had the date and they broke the. They shared the little shrimp, a little lobster. It was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Love that scene.
You know, in a lot of ways, Carm, you remind me of Tom Cruise.
Really?
Yeah, you're not very big. Okay, so here's Chuck and Carm, a chance to tie. She was the leading lady in the military drama G.I. Jane.
And no, saw you, Chuck. Didn't see it. Don't know the movie.
G.I. Jane. That was Demi Moore also, I believe.
That was Demi Moore also. We can't pull one over on you, and we are still tied at two.
You're my man, Chuck.
Okay.
Yep. Kurt, we got this. We got this.
All right.
This comes back to Kurt and Earl. Lee Marvin leads Telly Savalas, Charles Bronson, and a cast of Hollywood stars on a suicide mission in Germany to kill as many members of the German army as possible. What is the name of this movie that features 12 filthy army assassins?
Dirty Dozen.
There we go.
Dirty Dozen is correct.
There we go.
Again, you guys are up by one, but Chuck and Carm, one question back, a chance to tie it. In this movie, Steve McQueen leads James Garner, Charles Bronson, and a cast of Hollywood stars out of a prison of war camp. What was the name of this movie that featured a grand prison break?
Steve McQueen. You got it, Chuck?
Wasn't that Great Escape? Trying to think of the one where he was in the motorcycle, I believe.
It's one of my brother's favorite movies. If he's listening, he's going to be offended. The Great Escape? I feel like that's Clint Eastwood there, Chuck.
I was just talking about it last week, and I thought it was, oh, man.
Do we have a play call?
Guys, we need an answer.
Hold on. This is terrible. This is the low moment of the show for me right now. Chuck, bail us out.
That's the only thing I can think of is The Great Escape.
The Great Escape. Of course you're correct. With Steve McQueen
really?
On a motorcycle. Yep. Yeah.
Yes.
There we go.
Yes, I knew it the whole way, Chuck.
We have a tie game. All right. This goes now to Kurt and Earl.
Kurt.
This member of the Naval Academy scored 50 points in an NCAA tournament game, then went on to win...
David Robinson.
David Robinson is correct.
What kind of layup is that?
Let's go.
Just throwing David Robinson. What other player could ever... too easy of a question.
Are you complaining?
Yep. Legit complaint.
Why don't you just try to win the game?
Yeah, well, we're going to do that too, Harry.
Okay. This is a chance to tie for Chuck and Carm. This gentleman won the Heisman Trophy playing for the Naval Academy and then wore number 12 when he quarterbacked the Dallas Cowboys.
That's too easy.
Go ahead, Chuck. You got it? Oh, that's Kurt saying it's too easy.
Chuck?
Was it Staubach?
I believe it was.
Yeah, Roger Staubach?
Roger Staubach is correct.
That was also easy.
Each of these questions is equally valued.
You're a brilliant man.
I'm not brilliant, dude.
I have tons of respect for what you do.
It's just goofy. It's a break from
the
talking
best game
about.
I played on radio by far.
Go on.
Earl Bennett, former Bears wide receiver.
I love Earl Bennett. I got a man crush on Earl Bennett.
708 right. Texting in, I'm not the brightest, but it ticks me off when listeners call in to answer trivia questions but don't know trivia. Hey. Take it easy there, 708.
Okay, here we go. This is for Earl and Kurt. This Navy board game featured, amongst others, these ships. aircraft carrier, submarine, and destroyer.
Serious.
Battleship.
There we go.
Battleship. Final answer?
Yep.
Correct. You guys cannot lose the game. Now, chance for a tie, and they have prizes going to both sides if Chuck and Carm can get this one right.
Chuck, are you offended by how easy that question was?
Yeah, so he's got some really good, nice questions on his side.
Right?
We should have been number one.
Dude, you just got like three easy questions in a row.
I know.
Just go ahead, okay. Mr. Moderator.
In this Army board game, each player got different colored blocks and then attacks different players from country to country. In this game, Kamchatka was the gateway from the east to the west.
I'll take the other question.
I'll repeat the question. I'm thinking it's Risk here, Chuck, but I'm not sure if I'm right. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Military with older ifs.
All right. Yes. You want to stick with that? Okay, we'll go with Risk.
Yeah. Risk is correct. They both won prizes. Uh-oh. You guys were fantastic. Dan Long, tell them, please, what they've won.
How about one for each guy, but two gift certificates to Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza, 40-plus Chicagoland locations. Find one nearest to you at loumalnati's.com.
How about that?
A tie?
Yeah.
Earl?
Well, it's still a regular season, but
right?
Yeah, I think we got to go OT.
I mean, it's OT right now.
Yeah. You want one more answer for all the marbles?
I mean, I'll throw out a Michael Jordan trivia question right now, and you can step in for me. Let's go.
We're going to stay with the Army-Navy theme.
All right. Okay, let's go.
Okay, we're going to do that, a little Army-Navy action.
You got more questions over there?
Do I have more questions? I got pockets full.
Okay. I'm about settling this one here, Kurt and Chuck. I don't know how you feel.
I'm fine. You know, what's funny is I'm actually walking into Malnati's right now because I just ordered a pizza for take-home.
Oh, don't you wish you had this now?
Yeah, I wish I had it in my hand right now.
How great would that be? You wouldn't have to do anything. You could just...
just tell them...
It's over $25, so I have to pay something. Well,
you should just tell them you're on the radio with Earl Bennett, and he's going to cover it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay. Yeah.
Is it always worth that way? All right, how about this?
I'm going to order three more pizzas.
All right, how about this? Whoever buzzes in first with the correct answer, if you get it right, you win. If you get it wrong, the other team wins. Okay?
Yep.
I'm asking a question about a Army-Navy movie that was out in the last 10 years, and don't just yell out the answer. Carm and Chuck yell out Chuck. Earl and Kurt yell out Kurt. Here is the question. Okay. Catherine Bigelow directed this Oscar-winning movie that featured
Chuck. Hurt Locker.
Yes, Carm.
For the win.
Gosh.
Oh, good for you.
Look at that, Chuck.
Oh, man.
You're a man.
Now, you can explain to Kurt how he went from being awarded a prize to not getting a prize.
Kurt, you tried really hard, just didn't work out for you today.
And that's my favorite.
Have you seen Hurt Locker? Movies,
Kurt, yeah. We'll still give you the prize. You just didn't win. That's how that one works out, and Kurt's still happy. Right, Kurt?
Yep, you got it. Have that power.
Kurt, we fought hard, man. We fought hard.
All right, you guys, hold on. Yep. Hold on. We'll get your information. Hurt Locker's a good movie, huh,
yeah,
Earl?
Yeah, no, I love that movie. It's one of the best that I've seen.
Chuck, we're the champs.
Yeah, we're the champs. Hopefully we can say that tomorrow night, right?
Yeah, exactly right.
I wonder how many games Mark Kerman could beat Earl Bennett in.
No, probably not. That's. All right, thanks a lot there, team. Good job, Harry.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you for patronizing me, Carm.
No, you did a great job. Hey, Earl.
Yeah?
Give us a final for tomorrow night. What are you feeling?
Final tomorrow night. I mean, I'm on with Harry right now. I got Cody Parker kicking a game winner. Bears win by one.
Wow. Score?
42-41.
Wow. Okay. That's like a big-time performance.
Whoa. Yeah. Bears defense going to give up 41 points tomorrow?
Yeah, it's hard to stop the Rams. They are
electrifying. In the swirling cold wind?
Yeah, I think those guys have the mental fortitude to be able to get past the cold and put up some points. But I think the Bears, I think with Trubisky back, I think we'll get back on the roll. And I think they'll score 42. I got them winning, 41-42.
Wow. I like it. I see the Bears winning by a point also, but my score is 28-27.
Mm-hmm. You got the Rams by 3 touchdowns. All right.
Earl, stay and eat cake during the break, and then you can be here for the song.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to eat some cake to celebrate that victory.
Let's do it.
All right, 720 WGN. Great one there, Harry.
Stripes.
Yep. Yes, sir. We're eating the carrot cake. Earl Bennett brought in carrot cake, brought in chocolate cake.
It's from Gibson's.
From Gibson's. And they're the biggest slices of cake you can possibly get in the city, I would say. And they're that was delicious.
Yeah. I will say the chocolate cake is phenomenal, too, but it's just not on par with the carrot cake.
Okay, Earl. I know you've been going over the middle for a long time. Maybe you were concussed and you didn't realize it. The carrot cake cannot hold a candle to the chocolate cake.
I mean, look at this carrot cake. Look at how it's layered. It's amazing.
This chocolate cake is like swimming in a chocolate river.
That's chocolate cake you can do for 2 or 3 days.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you got to get in here, David Jennings.
I've been to Gibson's, and it's like, chocolate,
It's cake for, I would say, we need could to, serve 10 people.
We need to isolate that sound, by the way. David Jennings just going, okay, so this is, Sir Earl, I have a friend, Alexi, who was a finalist on American Idol. He's a great singer. I want him to sing my song parodies so people just hear the words.
Uh-huh.
Carm and our executive producer, Dan Long, think it's funny to make fun of my singing voice.
No, I don't make fun of it. I just want to hear it.
So this is, with apologies to the Romantics, is something for the biggest weapon the Bears have on offense. Here's a little something from Carm and I and everybody at WGN for Tariq Cohn.
All right.
Second and 10 coming up for Chicago. It's there for Cohn. He's going to outrace his blockers and outrace everybody. In the secondary he goes, and he will not be caught. Touchdown, Chicago. Tariq Cohn trying to find the hole, and he's into the end zone for a Bears touchdown.
No one knew his name on draft day. Most Cohns his size are a CPA. He starred at North Carolina A&T. Is that a college or a phone company? Best back at sliding spirals. His backflip catch went viral. Turn Bears playbook to a Bible. By run, catch, or return of the team, he's gonna burn. I see the defense is a freak. When the ball goes to Tariq, I see the defense is a freak. When the ball goes to Tariq.
Earl, thoughts?
It was amazing. I mean, we should put this on iTunes and sell it.
Dan,
like, I'll do the marketing for him.
You think so?
Yeah, I got him covered.
So you're going to market it, and and you think that Harry's got a hit on his hands.
Oh, yeah, platinum.
Right. I mean, that's I had the same reaction. Dan Long, I mean, you're hearing it for the 17th time. What do you think? Is it getting better with age?
It is. It's like a fine wine.
We should award the singer those special platinum shoes.
Right?
Yeah.
See, Harry, you think that you shouldn't sing, but you just need to trust the people around you. We see the talent. We believe in it. And now Earl wants to promote it.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's going your way.
I trust the people around me till I go home.
And there, Harry was literally at the chocolate cake, about to have another bite, had to run back to the microphone just to say that.
Tariq, we love you, man.
Tariq, you're the man. Earl, you're the man. Great to see you.
Hey, thank you. And the podcast, tell us about your podcast.
Yeah, Pro Style Podcast, every Tuesday, 6 p.m. We had David Price, the picture for the World Series, Boston Red Sox. Jordan Matthews, the receiver for the Eagles, on this week. And next week... a special guest I'm trying to decide, maybe Greg Olsen, or maybe Ken Keron, this guy who's one of the most popular comedians.
Pro-style podcast.
Pro-style podcast.
I love it. You never know if you're going to get a comic or a pro bowler.
Yeah.
And where can you listen to Pro-style podcast?
Yeah, it's on all platforms. You can go to Spotify. You can go to Google Play. You can go to iTunes. We're all over.
Look at you.
Yeah.
We'll see you back here shortly.
And, yeah, of course.
And if you want to see Earl on TV tomorrow, he'll be on WGN TV at 8:35 in the morning.
Yeah.
So we'll wake up and see Earl Bennett. Somebody else will be on there, too. I'll sneak my way in if they let me through the door. So that's all coming up. All right, and Earl's got the Bears winning 42-41.
42-41.
Or we'll talk to you soon.
Yep.
Maybe next week, I guess. Right? Although yeah. I won't be here. See you guys. Have a good show, Perry. All right, 1.5 hour to go. I want to talk about gout and how if I'm going
down.
You
want to talk about the Bulls, Coach.
And I do want. I do have a Bulls thought or two.
Anybody ever have gout?
And that. All right, quick timeout, 720 WGN.
I see the defense is a freak. When the ball goes to Tariq, I see the defense is a freak. When the ball goes to Tariq.
I mean, the text line's going crazy for you, Harry. 815, oh my God, too funny. 630, Harry's voice is one in a million. I mean, one in a million.
Thank God.
630 says unacceptable, so that doesn't actually sound very positive for you. Text line, he qualifies immediately to sing the seventh inning stretch at Wrigley. Song is a nine, vocals are a, left that blank.
Mm-hmm.
312-981-7200, as we got 1.5 hour left on the beat here. Should Harry sing more? Very easy question for the text line. Should Harry sing more? 312-981-7200. 708, Harry, that was an okay parody song. You have done better. You may be wrong, but you're major right.
The major right song was great.
That was
for the Bears' great safety. I think, Earl, I believe it started out, Lovey brought in Archuleta, then Alava, who wasn't better. We rattled up all the safeties that had come through during Lovey's era before we got to major right.
Yeah, when Mike Brown left, we really struggled on the back end. Adam Archuleta, I didn't play with him, but I actually played with Ed Afalava, and it was just, it was tough to watch because we were doing great. You know, at front four, you had Double A Spice Adams, mm-hmm. Anthony Adams. You had Tommy Harris. You had Adewale Ogunleye. I mean, you had some solid guys up front, and of course, the linebackers, Lance Briggs, Brian Urlacher. Those guys were amazing. Nick Roach. And so we just needed someone on the back end at safety primarily, and yeah, we struggled.
Yeah, that was a fun era. Yes, David Jennings?
I have a question.
Yeah.
You're not even 6 feet tall. I remembered watching you play. How did you not get broken into little tiny pieces?
Well, I'm about 15 pounds lighter right now. I normally played about 210, 215. And so for me, it's about the heart. I used to go in a game knowing that, hey, I'm going to take their head off before they take mine off. I'll never forget we played the Vikings, and Cutler came to me and was like, hey, man, you've been, like, you know, knocking a couple of people out. The Vikings, I think they're going to try to take you out. And so I caught, like, a short pass, and I turned up the right sideline, and I see Harrison Smith coming downfield. I mean, he's just coming hard, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to try and run him over. And I did, and knocked him out of the game.
See, that's...
Okay. Badass.
Right, it's A, it's badass, and B... You know, that goes like back to like old school. I mean, people wondered why Walter Payton was so durable. He would try to be the guy that hit first, but yep. Very few receivers do that.
Yeah. I mean, for me as a receiver, they're going to take their shot anytime they could. And this was, you know, a couple years ago where they're letting a lot of things fly, you know, the helmet to helmet thing type hits. And for me, it was like, hey, I'm going to initiate the contact before they give it to me because they're going to initiate it to me whenever they have the chance, especially going across the middle. Playing in the slot, having to block linebackers, having to chip defensive ends was tough. But, you know, whenever I got my chance to dish it out, I tried to.
Worst hit you ever took?
New Orleans. I almost died on the field, actually. I lacerated my liver. Coming downhill was, I forget his name, Roman Harper, the safety for the Saints.
Oh, right.
Mike Marsh. This is another thing. We asked Mike Marsh to change the hot because everybody knew if they brought Mike Will that I would run a slant route.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to change it. And so New Orleans knew I had a slant route if they brought Mike Will and he came barreling down. Hit me right in my liver.
So isn't the whole point of a hot read to like create a play that will work for you?
Yeah, you want to create a play that worked for you. And Mike Marks, he was kind of stuck in his way. He said, hey, we're not changing the hot read. I've been doing this for 30 years. And we were like, well, that's probably why you want to change it, because everybody knows it's coming.
I also lacerated my liver, but it was 30 years of shots of Cuervo.
Good job, Harry. That makes me, that just story right there just makes me think, like, do you, there's so many different nuances to it, but, like, do you believe the NFL cares about player safety from throwing games on Thursday night after Sunday night? You know, the Bears play on Sunday night, they're going to play 11:30 on Thanksgiving. That was ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then, there's the, well, they'll protect the quarterback, but then, you know, a person like yourself, it's just, he's here and then he's gone and that's it.
Yeah, you're fair game. If you're not the quarterback, you're fair game. Guys are going to take shots at you. They're going to try to cut you. They're going to try to hit you however they can get you to the ground. But when it comes to the quarterback, they're going to softly and gently lay them down and make sure that they're okay, and then they're going to help them up. Think about it. How many times do you see a defensive player help a running back or a wide receiver up? It doesn't happen.
Yeah,
quarterbacks? No. Yeah, they're going to help Tom Brady up.
That's
and say thank you.
That's because people want to tune in and they want to see Tom Brady and they don't want to see the backup quarterback, right?
Yeah, it's all about ratings, and you got to protect the quarterbacks. We know what they mean to the game, and hey, they're doing a great job with it.
Okay, so what do you think is tougher, getting hit by a blitzing linebacker in the NFL or having gout in your big toe?
I think gout, probably.
Okay, so here, let me get this out here. This is what's been going on. I got a right big toe that does not like me right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is, now, I don't think I have gout, but I might have gout. I feel like it's like saying you have gout just sounds like one of the worst things you could possibly say, as far as, I mean, I feel like I'm this young man that's all fully healthy. I feel like I'm going to play sports my entire life. And now I've got this injury like 40 years before I thought that I'd have any problems. My foot feels hot, which is part of the one of the characteristics. I wake up in the morning, touching the floor is not, it takes a little bit for it to warm up. And I used to, like, I would play tennis, and it would bother me, you know, for, like, a step or two, but then it would go away. Now, I'm feeling it when I'm walking. I'm feeling it. And so I'm wondering if it's just an arthritis thing or if I actually have the gout.
Turf toe?
Could be a turf toe.
Yeah.
I need an expert out here.
Don't make him think he's an athlete, Earl.
312-981-7200. Yes, Dan Long?
We did have a listener call in, like, an hour ago when you guys were deep into Bears talk, so I didn't... We didn't get any further, but he had a suggestion for you. At CVS, they're called Health Mineral Oil Gel Toe Spacers. They're like gel, and you basically just put it in between your big toe and the rest of your toes. And apparently, he said he has gout, and it helped him.
He has gout, and it helped him.
And just to back up my point, what I was saying earlier, gout is also known as the rich man's disease. It is metabolic arthritis. It's very rare, Carm. In America, there's only 200,000 cases every year.
Now, how could I be one of those people? Like, what did I do to get to do the gout thing here? And if anybody else has any other tips on how to get rid of it, how to manage it, I'm feeling a little terrified here.
It comes from high levels of uric acid in the blood.
Right. So I got to drink more water. I can't eat meat.
Yeah.
What else do I got to do?
Consumption of liver and onions will help get rid of gout.
I got to eat liver and onions?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a terrible thing. I don't mind a good liver and onions.
You're on your own there, sport.
312-981-7200.
Oh, here's the best part. How did I not see that? It tends to increase in men when they reach puberty.
I did go through puberty late, but I have gone through it. It's rough when you have to wait till your junior year of high school to experience it, but we don't need to go down that road.
Oh.
Avoid purine-rich rich foods, especially organic meats and tuna.
Yeah.
Yes.
No organic meats. No liver, says the 312. I'm also looking for sympathy, for the record. If people could just call in and be like, Carm, I'm really sorry that you're experiencing this. You don't deserve this. Like, you're a good guy. Stuff like that. That would make me feel better. Rich in Lockport, what do you got, Rich?
Hey,
have you ever had gout?
Yeah, I've had about 30 years.
Oh, my God.
And I went to every specialist in the world. I have a right ankle. I got hurt when I was a kid. And it would lock up. I couldn't move my toes left or right, up and down, anything else. I went to every doctor around, orthopedic guys, bone spurs, this and that, arthritis, a whole bit. Finally, I had a podiatrist of a kid that I used to coach He went in, looked at my temperature on my ankle was 105. My regular temperature is normal. He looked at it. He says, you got gout. He explained to us uric acid built up in the joints. He said, you know, he gave me this whole list of food that causes it. Mine is chicken, spinach is the two things that will fire it up. And I take endomycin, a couple of those, 2 to 3 days later, it's fine.
What do you take? Endomycin?
It's a prescription drug.
Okay, endomycin. Writing it down.
Carm, not to scare
you. You load it up right in the beginning and then take it for a couple of days. Now, other people take it every day. I talked to a guy the other day, tomatoes, red tomatoes fires his up. Strawberries, you know, everybody's a little different.
Hmm. Side effects for your endomycin? Do you sleep all the time? I start taking drugs, I go right to bed.
Nah, it's just like, you know.
Yeah, you should call him my old guy.
Okay.
But, hey, good luck, man, because mine was so bad, if I had a sheet touch it, it was really painful. So, I mean, I'm sorry you're going through this.
Thank you, Rich. I appreciate it. I don't 100% know that I have it. I think I might just have arthritis, but I'm now worried.
I think it's turf toe.
Yeah.
You play tennis, basketball, you're an athlete.
You're not going to like this. Gout cannot be cured.
Right, that's why we're doing the segment here,
right.
Harry.
Yeah. I'm just saying, it's the third time I've seen this.
People are texting in Indocin, which our caller just said has a lot of side effects. This guy is way wrong. See, that's the thing. Like, now everybody goes seven different ways with this stuff. There's no good answers. Drink sour cherry juice for gout, 4 ounces.
Obesity and excessive alcohol intake are associated with this disease.
I'm not obese.
How did I not get this?
Maybe you're just a better... I don't know, Harry. You're more talented than I am. That's why you don't have gout.
If you gout. If you like liver and onions, I just want to tell you I made that up.
I like liver and onions.
Then
eat that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, people are texting in, no liver. Anthony, what do you got?
Yes, how's it going?
Good, Anthony. Are you a doctor?
No. I have a lot of them in the family. But what happens is that even if you look at your toe now, it goes in towards the other toe. And what happens is the uric acid crystals go into your toe joints. And if you get that thing from CVS, you put that in between your toe, and it'll straighten it out and take the pressure off. And what will happen is it'll increase the circulation, and it'll get rid of those crystals in your toe. And it'll take maybe a day or two at the most, but you'll see something right away next morning even. There's two to a pack, and you can put it on when you go to bed even. Keep it on all day. And what you do is you put that in there with your sock.
What's it called again?
On the internet.
Give me the name one more time.
It's they call it a toe spacer from CVS.
Oh, the toe spacer, right, okay.
Yeah, and it's a mineral, it looks like silicone, and it's like an hourglass, and it looks kind of stupid, but I'll tell you, the thing works great. My one uncle was a doctor, and he had problems with it, and I gave it to him, and he goes, it's amazing how fast it helps it. And like I said, it'll help right away.
All right.
And when there's another thing that you can get from your doctor.
Yeah.
Because it's actually, some people just make uric acid, you know, or if you drink a lot, especially beer.
Yeah.
There's something called allopurinol. It's called allopurinol.
I got that one.
Allopurinol. That helps flush the uric acid out of your system.
Yeah, okay.
And it's an older medicine that's been around for a long time, but it's prescription. That helps with it, too. But when you get what you got, because it's red, it's hot, it's to the touch.
All right, Anthony, we're making everyone vomit out there.
Okay, okay, Anthony, we had a really good show for 2 hours and 51 minutes.
But I appreciate how much you care, Anthony.
Yeah.
I really, really, really do. And a lot of people are texting in the allopurinol.
I think we got another parody on our hands here.
This is just... I know we're supposed to take a break, but... Well, here, I just want to get Seymour in there, because I feel like Dr. Seymour might have something for me. Yeah. Seymour!
Definitely not Dr. Seymour, but the allopurinol is outstanding, but I don't think it's gout. I think it's the human body is probably... The foot is not made for the kind of force of athletic activity that you do, Mark, with your basketball.
Thank you.
And tennis. So I'm guessing it's probably just, the foot not able to handle that force.
Okay. Seymour, I appreciate
that. I like that, Seymour.
But 100 milligrams of allopurinol is a good preventative. It worked for me.
So you had it, Seymour?
Preventative. I was told, the doctor told me I had a high uric acid count. He said it was from too much sexual activity. I said, I don't know where that came from. I did not have the gout, but I take the allopurinol as a prevention. You can read about it in my book, which will be coming out in a couple of months.
This is a disease that's been around so long that people have to put the word "the" in front of it. I had the gout.
Seymour, we're up against the break. You're a legend and a hero. Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you very much. All right,
we got to come back and do one thing that happened 28 years ago today.
Great. That's next. Thank you for all your support. I appreciate it. It means a lot to me, I feel warm inside.
And feel
and
good.
On my toe.
Carm, only 7% of people with gout will lose the big toe.
720 WGN.
Let me take you down, because I'm going to Strawberry.
Amy Guth coming up at the top of the hour. Harry, we got one more thing to do.
Yeah, it was Monday night, this day 28 years ago, December 8th, 1980. I'm watching the Dolphins play the Patriots, and Howard Cosell had just gotten a show on ABC. He had just interviewed John Lennon, and this is the way that the world found out about the horribleness that had happened in New York City.
3 seconds remaining. John Smith is on the line, and I don't care what's on the line, Howard. You have got to say what we know in the booth.
Yes, we have to say it. Remember, this is just a football game, no matter who wins or loses. An unspeakable tragedy confirmed to us by ABC News in New York City. John Lennon, outside of his apartment building on the west side of New York City, the most famous, perhaps, of all of the Beatles, shot twice in the back, rushed to Roosevelt Hospital, dead on arrival. Hard to go back to the game after that news flash, which in duty bound we had to take.
One of the greatest men of all time, Johnny Lennon. Thanks for bringing that to the show, Harry.
Sure.
I had never heard that.
It was horrible. And what was cool about it was that Cosell had really had a great deal of respect for him, having just interviewed him.
That's a professional announcer right there. Hi, Amy Guth.
Hey, you know what? That what you just played, I remember so clearly that day. I remember
you were too young, Guth.
I was alive and well and old enough to remember, and clearly recall. I was standing with my mom, and I just remember like watching on this little crappy little black and white TV that we had in our terrible looking 70s kitchen. But I clearly remember that day because we were just standing there, and I remember her, like, we were just watching that TV. I remember that so clearly. Wow. Here's the anniversary. We're upon it. I thought of that this morning, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's on the show tonight?
You know what? A lot of times on the show, I will do something. I'll try to tie it in with the news, and the news is exhausting right now, so I'm not doing anything related to news. In fact, I'm taking a look at classical music in Chicago, and that sounds like maybe a snooze of a topic, but in fact, it is really interesting, and there's a lot of people doing a lot of really cool things to make it fresh and interesting and help people get better access to the arts, and it's really, really great, and so that is what is coming up tonight.
Good.
I was waiting on that, Harry. I haven't heard that in months.
Do you know that Bach and Handel were born in the same year? Speaking of classical music.
No, I did not know that.
How about that?
We got dessert.
Why do you know that, Harry?
I know that because my mom snuck educational games in on us when we were kids.
Good job, Mom. Mama Tynowitz.
Instead of fish, we had the great composers. So instead of saying, do you have a 7? You would say, do you have a Rossini? And you'd say, no, go compose. By the way, Guth, which one of the three of us looks like he was a professional athlete?
Not you. Maybe you?
Possibly.
Hi.
How you doing?
That's Amy.
Did you know Harry is a pretty good singer?
I sure did. I was enjoying the song stylings.
Yeah, just making sure.
A little bit before the program while I was preparing for the classical music, I was digging that.
Yeah.
Great, Earl. Thank you so much for coming in.
Anytime.
We really, really appreciate it. Harry, great to be with you. Amy's coming up next, 720 WGN.